News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
You can find his work with the Louisiana News Group, The Advocate and such, and also QuinnHilliard.com. He joins us now. It's Tuesday, and here he is, Quinn Hilliard. Good morning, Quinn. How are you?
Good. I'm fine, thanks. How are y'all?
Doing good.
We're doing good, and a lot to get to in this segment with you. But quickly, you're a Saints fan, bringing back Chase Young, Derek Carr. How are you feeling about this offseason, Quinn?
Still very iffy. I'm not sure.
Well, at least that was a definitive answer.
Well, was it? Hey, how about last year? We had our hopes were so high because they crushed their first two opponents. It was like, yeah. Nobody can stop this team. And then after that, everybody stopped this team. So I don't know what that was all about. Was that Kubiak was the guy that's now at Seattle? Was that the offensive coordinator last year?
Yeah, Kubiak was the offensive coordinator. And I think, first of all, that he didn't show anything in preseason. He kept all of his cards close to the vest. So he came out for the first 2 weeks, and nobody had film to study on what he might do.
Yep.
And so they were all surprised. And secondly, they lost their starting center, who it turned out was an absolute linchpin of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
But they quickly figured out the tendencies with film study, and boy, the between losing the center and then some other offensive linemen later, plus of course, you know, him getting predictable, mm-hmm. they just were terrible.
Well, and we'll move off of this now, but if it sounded like I was taking a shot at you, I'm a Tennessee Titans fan, so that was literally impossible because we had the number one pick, and we're terrible.
Yeah.
So let's get into some news
you
here.
You did like five number one picks.
Let's get into some news here, and of course, domestically, there's a lot to get into, stock market and everything, how that's going, but internationally, a lot of movement right now, a lot of diplomatic meetings. Witkoff announced yesterday he's probably going to be going to Moscow to talk with Putin. You had Zelensky and then Secretary of State Rubio separately in Saudi Arabia yesterday and talking peace. U.S., Ukraine, Russia, where do we stand on this right now, Quinn?
Well, we stand with the entire Trump administration essentially siding with Russia, which is disgusting. Look, it is one thing, and perfectly legit, I'm on one side, you might be on the other, listeners might be on the other, but perfectly legit to argue about how much military and humanitarian aid the U.S. should give to Ukraine. But it's entirely another thing to withdraw our intelligence that, for all intents and purposes, is free because we've got it anyway, but to withdraw the intelligence that allows Ukraine to protect its own citizens, its civilians. And when Trump, in a fit of pique, withdrew that intelligence, Russia again started pounding civilian, not military, but civilian targets, and they're killing dozens and dozens of civilians and leveling buildings in a way that they haven't been able to do for the last 2 years. That is making us essentially an accomplice to murder, and it's inexcusable. It's reprehensible.
So, and Trump said, you know, a pause in the intelligence, and there's no real, no one has said exactly how much of that intelligence was paused, but he went after Russia after that. He said, listen, we're going to hit you really hard, whether you believe that or not. That's what he had to say. But it wasn't that, you know, to show Zelensky, not to show him up, but show him how dependent he is on the United States right now, and that he should be willing to maybe try to make some motions towards peace.
You don't do that by putting innocent civilians at major risk. Look, any time that anything gets done that favors Ukraine, what does Russia lose? Russia loses its own attacking soldiers, and they may lose some military equipment or military or damage to some military bases. they are not having their civilians attacked. They are not having their own territory attacked in general, other than a tiny little area. Their civilians are safe.
They hit Moscow with 80 drones yesterday.
They hit Moscow what with 80 drones?
Are there civilians in Moscow? I'm not sure exactly what they were hitting. There's a bunch of civilians in Moscow.
I missed the 80 drone thing. I missed that yesterday afternoon.
What's interesting about all this, Quinn, is through all of this, now, if there's been loss of life in Ukraine because of the intelligence pause, that's what you're saying. The only leader that I've heard bemoan the loss of life as his main goal to end this war has been Trump. He's talked about the war is horrible. He obviously the White House press conference went about as bad as go after 40 minutes of being okay. Suddenly all this has happened. But he's the one promoting the peace for the very thing you're talking about, the loss of life. It's like...
Let his words match his actions. If he's worried about loss of life, don't withdraw the intelligence. If he's worried about loss of life, don't say that you're going to revoke the visas of, I think it's 240,000 Ukrainian refugees who we have accepted who are here lawfully. Don't tell them that suddenly, through no fault of their own, we're going to send them back to be bombed. Tell me, did those drone strikes actually kill any Moscow civilians? I'm not sure on that.
I need to follow up on that. You're right.
Okay. So were they bombing hospitals? Were they bombing schools? Were they bombing, by the way, essential power equipment that keeps civilian areas running? No, they weren't. And they're not sending back people who are here legally to get in the crosshairs of Russia. There is nothing that Trump has done rather than say, oh, I'm going to increase sanctions. Going to increase sanctions? If it were Ukraine, he would have immediately put sanctions. Some vague threat of future action because Russia just killed another scores of more Ukrainian citizens? Give me a break.
This is a mess, and but you have to admit this, Quinn, the only momentum we've seen getting toward peace, which hopefully we get to, has been under Trump.
I don't see any momentum. I literally see no actual momentum to any kind of peace that can be secured. The question that blew up Trump and J.D. Vance that Zelensky asked was actually a very legitimate question, and he asked it very respectfully. He said, what happens if we have a ceasefire? What security guarantees do we have that Putin will not break that ceasefire?
Mm-hmm.
And there was no good answer to that. And Ronald Reagan knew that you get secure if you have security, that brings peace. You don't put the cart before the horse and say, we have peace, now we're going to figure out security later. If they have a ceasefire, where is that ceasefire? That ceasefire is along the lines of all the territory Russia has actually seized. And if you have a ceasefire without a security guarantee, all that means is that Russia gets to consolidate its gains in that territory that they have already seized that does not belong to them without any knowledge that Ukraine has of, okay, well, then what next? How do we defend against them next? If we're ceding this territory for now, how the heck can we be sure that we are safe from Russia breaking another deal like he's already broken something like 27 deals in the last 7 years?
Well, Quinn, I would say that the security, well, first off, you know, what security assurances do Ukraine currently have? But the security would come through this minerals deals and other deals we would make where there would be United States assets there on where the front line currently mm-hmm. is. And if there's United States assets there, that's just, you know, we're not just going to let Russia take those, I wouldn't think. And, you know, the ceasefire, you mentioned Reagan. I mean, no one has talked to Putin since 2021. What kind of diplomacy is that? To you don't have to love a person to talk to him to figure out how you can end something like this. Why hasn't Putin been talked to since 2021?
Because there's usually a history of not talking to somebody who is actively attacking the other, especially when he's actively attacking your ally. But either way, again, that's where you can get into some of the, well, maybe this is a good idea, maybe that's not, you know, a good idea, and there are legitimate differences in approach. There can be no legitimate justification for withdrawing the intelligence and for starting the process of sending home people that we took in with open arms who have settled here legally to send them back to the killing fields. Both of those are reprehensible.
How many of those Ukrainians do you think would want to go back once the war ends? If you just, I mean, generally, you think half, three-quarters? You think they all want to stay here?
I have absolutely no idea, but as far as I'm concerned, all 240,000 of them can go back if they want to go back. We should send them with presents, with gifts. We should say good luck rebuilding your society. More power to you.
But we'll be helping to rebuild their society.
But either way, the point is, we welcome them here. They are here. They are here legally, unlike the illegals that were streaming across the border. And as legal residents here, you do not send them back to the killing zone. We did not take in Iraqi refugees, and then while we were still fighting the war, while Bani Sadr was still running wild, we didn't send them back to the killing fields. We didn't send the Afghanis back after we were here. We didn't send them back to the killing fields. We didn't do that to the South Vietnamese. That's just unconscionable.
You know, and let me just tell you where I see what I would call momentum, Quinn, and you can certainly disagree, and I think you do. But the fact that in Saudi Arabia, there are actual peace talks going on. None of that happened prior to Trump. That a dialogue with Putin, between Putin and Trump, I think in a situation like this, can be helpful as opposed to just stonewalling him like the Europeans are doing. That stuff just keeps the war going. And then the more cynical Dan Brennan would say, keeps the war machine going and the money coming to those who profit from the war.
Well, again, those are legitimate arguments. As I said, the very first words I said, you can have legitimate differences about how to approach this peace or this war. You can argue, by the way, that Russia is getting bled dry. They've lost many more men than Ukraine have. They've started losing North Korean men as well. They've lost their economy is hobbled. You could say that Russia was in the spot that Russia was in Afghanistan in the late 80s before they withdrew.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, you didn't have Churchill talking to Hitler. You didn't have FDR talking to Hitler. You didn't have Charles de Gaulle talking to Hitler. We beat him.
Okay. Fair enough. I just think this is obviously a strategy and an avenue that Trump is going down that conventionally doesn't happen. Fair enough. But it might work.
Yeah, I mean, Zelensky's willing to, he said maybe a naval and aerial ceasefire to start with. That's kind of what the discussions are right now. We'll get back more with Quinn on the other side of the break right here on Mobile Mornings.
Morning from Dan and Dalton. Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com. And Dalton just back from a memorial service in Pennsylvania.
Took a trip and flew in many a different plane. Now, my brother's the aviation expert, so I cede that to him, which means I don't really know what I'm talking about in that world, but I know I flew on nice Boeing in one leg of the trip, flew on the nicest plane I've ever been on. And it was an Airbus A320. I don't know if it was Neo or whatever. Like I said, I don't know a whole lot about that thing.
Nicest plane you've ever been on was built in Mobile.
It was absolutely amazing.
Wow.
And that's come up this week. And Senator Tommy Tuberville even mentioning as, you know, you have these massive cost overruns on Air Force One. I think $2.6 billion, or I might be off on that, $2.6 billion overrun on the Air Force One cost. And there's, you know, people, I mentioned it to someone I know, and they're like, yep, Boeing sucks pretty much when it comes to getting them out on time. And so we say, hey, Airbus has done a pretty decent job, but there's a discussion about whether having a French company, even if it's made in America, be the builder of the president's plane. Your thoughts on this, Quinn?
Tommy Tuberville should remember that he represents Mobile, Alabama, and he represents, therefore, all the workers who work at the Airbus plant here, which, what, has how many, like 1,000 or 1,500? I don't know.
Something like that, yeah.
Number of employees. To say that an entirely or almost entirely American-built plane is that is owned by foreign owners who are allies of ours is not safe for national security. It makes absolutely no sense. We have 4,000 employees at Austal Shipyards. They're building Navy boats right and left. Are we not going to let that happen? And we going to get rid of the 4,000 people that work at Austal because that's foreign owned? Trump just, what, last year said, and I wish I had the quote directly in front of me, he says, I want all these foreign businesses to come and invest in America. As long as they're having American jobs, we welcome them. And then he turned around and he joined Biden in blocking the Nippon Steel acquisition of U.S. Steel, which, by the way, would keep thousands of jobs there in Ohio. And now there's a question of whether or not to let Airbus, which can do it cheaper and better than Boeing, build Air Force One, because Boeing is incapable, apparently, of doing it. And Tommy Tuberville, our own senator, says no. That's terrible. Somebody should hold Tommy Tuberville to account.
Yeah, and so a couple things, and I am conflicted on this, and I don't know if it's a smart idea for Tuberville to go in on Airbus. I wouldn't say he went in on Airbus, but to say that with the rumors that he may be running for governor here soon, that might not help him in that. But I just think maybe as an optics thing, that's what they're worried about here, to have a French company, even if it's built here in Mobile.
That was the argument with the tanker.
Was it the same argument back then?
That was the argument with the tanker. Remember that, Quinn? They said the people that favored Boeing were like, there's no way you can even think about doing that. And Boeing, as it turns out, they've wet the bed on the whole deal.
Yeah, but it also doesn't really fit with the whole efficiency push, right, from the Trump administration. So I'm kind of conflicted on that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't see any conflict at all. If you've got a wholly American subsidiary of a foreign country, but the wholly American subsidiary is using entirely American workers, and the foreign owners happen to be allies, then what is the problem?
Yeah,
again, we've done it again and again with Austal, with all sorts of companies. We just lost an aerospace company, what was it, Singapore Air, because of Trump's stupid tariffs. They're packing up. They've been in Mobile for something like 30 years, and they just packed up and left last week.
You know, I'd love to hear what Ainsworth thinks about this. He might be able to, I don't know if it'd make him any headway if that ends up being the race. It might be a little boost for him, though, if he brings up, hey, what's the problem with Airbus?
So if he runs against Tuberville and he has that card in his pocket, huh?
Something like that.
Quinn, thanks for joining us today, and let everybody know where they can read your stuff.
You can go to quinnhillier.com and subscribe for free, or look around at the New Orleans at NOLA.com, New Orleans Times for Keaton.
Thanks a bunch, and we'll talk in a week, okay?
There he goes.
Off he goes.
Quinn Hillier coming back. More Mobile Mornings.
Toast must have just popped out of the toaster. He had to go.
He had to get out of here. Your texts, which there are a ton of, 251-343-0106. And don't be afraid to call that same number. Mobile Mornings continues after the news.
Busy, busy like me and you. Busy. busy beavers.
Busy beavers.
I'm a busy beaver. Are you a busy beaver too?
Busy on the text line right now.
I'm a busy beaver.
Say that.
Busy,
and some of the texts are about beavers.
Yeah. I guess Mobile has maybe the busiest of the beavers.
That's what we're trying to determine is where are the busiest beavers? And in that way, the most annoying and or destructive beavers.
Yeah.
Because people are talking about how they're destroying property and by making all those, and it's not a cuss word, making all those dams.
Yeah. Yep.
And if I said all those damn dams, then you got a cuss word.
Then you would have cussed. Yep. That's right. And thanks for prefacing that.
Careful not
and letting us know you're about to say that. And our, the FM Talk 106.5 wildlife expert has already sent us a picture this morning of a beaver that has moved on to the next life.
Yeah. Evidently, thanks to him. And his
and it was a big one too.
Gun.
Yeah. It was weighing down the back of that ATV he had it on. And so, if you're wondering why we're playing the beaver song there is some really important council stuff going down today. You know, that lodging tax increase that we've been talking about for some time.
Kicking that down the road for maybe they'll act on it today.
Yeah, and I wonder if there will be any more controversy heading into today's vote for that. But anytime there's a vote on beaver removal, you know that's what I'm going to focus on.
It's going to get your attention.
That's right. And so that'll be part of the council. They'll be voting today on a just over a $13,000 contract to monitor 23 different locations in the city. Beavers causing issues in many a place. Mobile Interim Public Services Director Matt Anderson spoke with WKRG's Haley Kennedy. And I think this guy's had it with the beavers in Mobile.
They can end up everywhere. We have beavers out in West Mobile, all the way down to the river.
By the way, Haley Kennedy had such good B-roll audio. You know the video they show behind the interview. It was peaceful, man. I felt like falling asleep watching this because you had just the sounds of nature while those beavers were working in the background. So 13 grand for a year contract. I want to read a Joel in Somerdale text here in just a second.
Okay.
Because he thinks someone's making out with some money here.
Like the war, people make money on the war. So he's saying somebody's getting rich on beaver removal.
The pelt business. So Anderson, the Interim Public Services Director, he said 13 grand, just over 13 grand for 12 months removing beavers. He said that's actually pretty good value.
Infrastructure issues, when they pop up unexpectedly, can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. And here we are paying $13,000 a year, a little over $1,000 a month, to make sure this problem doesn't balloon out of control.
So it makes sense to me. I don't think anyone is pushing back against this.
I'm asking this question. So I would say, look, I drive all over this town. Why don't I see any? No. I walk all over this town.
Yeah.
I moved here in 95, 29 years being a Mobilian.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember ever coming nose to nose with a beaver the whole time.
Or tail to tail.
There are some wooded areas in between neighborhoods. I'll find some paths there and walk. No beavers.
Mm-hmm.
Out at the walking trail at the University of South Alabama. It's a nature trail. It's all nature. There's nothing there except nature.
Now, are you just looking in the woods or are you looking at places with water? Because that might be part of your problem.
Well, part of the walking trail out at South Alabama has
a lot of water out there, yeah.
And I haven't seen a beaver.
Maybe the South Alabama landscaping crew is on top of that. You know, maybe their beaver removal abilities surpass those of the city.
I would say that may be true. And so
maybe you put them on it.
Look, contract's been signed.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So
a lot of texts on this morning, too, and we'll get to a lot of the texts about Ukraine and everything as well. Joel said, he said they are allowed to sell the pelts off the beavers. Each beaver pelt goes for about $30. Are we in it? By the way, Canada, will we start to tit-for-tat tariff the beaver pelts?
I can see that happening.
He said, plus they can sell the beaver meat. Are they? Okay, so Joel says they're making about $30 on the pelts. Plus they can sell the beaver meat. You do that times a couple of hundred extra beavers a year.
Oh,
it's about $9,000 that the trappers are also getting. So he's saying this is kind of a boon for the organization that's signing this contract, Wayland Wildlife Services. He says they'll make out to a little over $20,000 every year. Hey, if they're going to go through the work of skinning those beavers and cleaning them and everything and selling it, then, you know.
That's their business.
Go for it.
It's their beaver at that point. So I could be at a cocktail party, maybe anywhere, country club, University of South Alabama. I'm eating a Swedish meatball, and then the guy elbows me and says, you know, it's a beaver. There. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So is that what you're saying, Joel, that they're mass-produced into...
I've never eaten beaver.
I have not either.
Beaver meat. Let's see. Let's move on from that quickly. I got to read these texts very carefully, by the way.
But to use it as beef, that's crazy. I'm not down with that.
It tastes
just like chicken. Is that what they're going to say?
I'm not going to say what Sopranos episode I was just thinking about. All right, let's move on. King of all unnamed texters.
Yes.
Any word on the employers of those illegals that the FBI picked up? I have not seen that.
Then in South Baldwin County?
South Baldwin County, 9 arrests made yesterday after some arrests made in Spanish Fort.
That was not in the story.
Last month, let's see, Roger, yep, that's definitely a song that people think of when we talk about the beaver removal going on at the city council today. Let's see, Greg with Naked Gun meme involving also the story we were just talking about. Can't say that one. Biggest beaver problem, Goat Hill. Dam up everything. That's what Jesse had to say.
Montgomery, I get it.
Hey, Dan and Dalton, I want to know who the legal immigrants were working for that were detained by FBI in Baldwin County. These companies need to be held accountable. That's Tony. Thank you, Tony. Like I said, we don't quite have that yet. Let's see. Quinn Hillier is an anti-Trump establishment left-leaning rhino. I'm sure Quinn would probably disagree with you, but I think he definitely would agree with you that he does not like Trump. That is for sure, and it's apparent if you've listened to that for any time.
We've got plenty of reaction to Quinn this morning on the text line.
Let's see. Friendly neighborhood Democrat. Quinn loves sending your tax dollars to Ukraine, so the American taxpayer has to foot the bill for the stupidity of Zelensky and his regime. So it's Trump's fault that Zelensky is putting his people's necks on the line. I mean, anyone who's trying to deal in... just straight balls and strikes or black and white in this gray world of ours, I don't think very many people that want to see this war come to an end want to see it come to an end in order to benefit Putin and Russia. I think most of the people that want to end this war just want to see the bloodshed end. That's first. Well, more importantly to our own national security is, I don't know if you know this, but Russia happens to have a massive stockpile of nuclear weapons. And I don't know. I kind of get tired of playing that red line game. And not that it's a game that doesn't have to be played. It certainly has to be played. But that's one line that you step over at once and it's over. So when you have a war dragging on 3 years and your only plan is to keep up not talking with Russia and to let hundreds of thousands of more people die in order to make that war end, just on its face, sounds like an absolutely stupid idea. And it almost sounds evil that you're not, as a third party, which America is much more than a third party at this point, but you're not doing your job if you're not trying to bring an end to that war. And, you know, Ukraine lost territory, no doubt. Rubio said yesterday there's no chance in a negotiation they're going to get all of their territory back. They'll likely get some of that territory they grabbed from Russia during that lightning entrance last year.
Yeah.
So you got to work it out.
And I think that also this pause in the intelligence sharing could be lifted as quickly as it happened. It just seems like it's part of the Trump negotiation. Doesn't it feel like that to you?
Yeah.
And maybe he got pretty ticked off at Zelensky when he was at the White House. But it just seems to me it's just a chip. And what Quinn is saying is this chip is getting people killed. Oh, well, the whole thing is getting people killed and has been for 3-4 years now. And if it's just, look, remember he had the tariffs and then he lifted them for 30 days. Like, oh, if you help us with the border, and Mexico did, it seemed. And Canada.
Yeah, Sheinbaum, I think she went out of her way.
Canada
sure.
did not. And so now we've got this trade war with Canada. But it's not going to go on forever. This is all a larger negotiation, in my view. Mm-hmm. And that intelligence ban or that sharing, again, that can be reinstalled as quickly. And if you end the war, what do you need it for anyway?
And by the way, look at what Europe's doing now. What are they doing? France. Hey, we'll give you our intelligence.
Yeah.
UK, France. Yeah. Hey, we'll put some peacekeeping soldiers in there.
Yeah.
We'll help keep the peace.
Where they been?
Where was that discussion over the last 4 years?
Where have they been?
Other than Boris Johnson turning them away from the peace table 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And what do you do when you're out with one of your friends, out with one of your boys, somebody you know really well, and something happens, or maybe they've lost their mind? That, you know, I've been that person where something's happened and I've lost it, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm so personally affected by whatever went on. And one of my good friends or buddies, or I've done this, you shake them. You go, hey,
yeah,
snap out of it. How is this going to benefit you in the long run? Right now, this is incredibly personal to you, and it should be. You just got hit in the face.
Yeah.
You just got whatever. Your country was invaded 3 years ago. But let's talk about how we can make the best out of this absolutely awful situation that no one wants to see.
And also, Quinn, talking about that we didn't talk to Hitler, and your Churchill didn't talk to Hitler, on and on. We're not at war with Russia. You pointed that out, and it's also pointed out on the text line. Like, this is a different set of circumstances. We're not at war with Russia, mm-hmm. really. You could say, I mean,
technically,
all of the artillery that we sent to Ukraine, but now that's all going to be kind of rethought, obviously.
And we have China to worry about. Of course, it would help us much more if Russia was at the very least a neutral observer.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing would be if you have Russia and China, which they have certainly cozied up even closer over the last 3 years.
And Iran.
But China's the main issue here, and you got to end it. I know it sounds like we've gained certainly from this. We know a lot more about modern warfare now. Because this is the most modern war that's ever been fought.
True.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much all of the other wars we've seen with the U.S. involved and with Israel involved, it's been one major technological society who's much more advanced than the other. And then basically, you know, your mountain men in Afghanistan, you mm-hmm. got your – they fight in a different way. With Ukraine and Russia, it's tech versus tech.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Russia's breaking out the horses. This has turned into a World One style foxhole war because of these autonomous drones. If you thought technology would make war less violent and less bloody, all it's done is turn this back into fighting from 120 years ago, but also with explosive drones flying over.
Yeah, you're fighting with greater distance between yourself and the factions that you're warring against, but it's been a new war. It's a brand new warfare, but still the death and the injuries are massive and really heartbreaking when you consider all the civilians.
Let's try to get to a lot of these texts. We have so many. Vince, I guess we should have kept a Democrat in office and let the war play itself out. Pete, does Quinn want World War III? Hal, here we go. If a burglar broke into your house and killed a member of your family, would you give him a room instead of calling law enforcement and demanding he leave?
Was that about the Ukrainians being sent back?
Well,
what was that about?
The Ukrainians didn't break. Let's see. I thought the analogy was that Russia was the one breaking into the house and killing a member of the family being Ukraine. Would you give him a room instead of calling law enforcement and demanding he leave? I think that this is more like I haven't had enough time to work out an analogy to match yours, Hal, but I'll work on it. But
well, I would call law enforcement and ask for a better analogy.
I'll give Hal the benefit of the doubt. He's usually on point. I just that one might be escaping me. Let's see. Leo said, worst stock market crash since 2022. Trump's fault. He said, point being, who was president in 2022 during that last stock market crash? And Dan and I worked up a whole hour on the stock market from yesterday. Hopefully tomorrow's a better looking day after today's markets, but we'll get to that this week.
We try to check Twitter, but it's down. No, it's back.
Twitter's back. Maximus asking about what happens to the beavers once they're captured. I'm guessing they just send them off, right? Not send them off, but send them off to another realm. Let's see.
Maybe you don't want to know. Maybe it's darker than that.
Can we get the mayoral candidates? This is Ken. Can we get the mayoral candidates on the record if they are pro-beaver or not? Yeah, I think that should be You know, we'll have another candidate in here very soon, and that just that question just made its way to the very top of the list.
Well, I think no one is pro beaver. No one. The beavers need to go. That's what I'm reading out of that story.
I like them. They look cool.
Well, it looks like the city wants to eradicate them. So I don't think it was a pro beaver side to this conversation, really.
I'll put myself in that camp. I think this is a ridiculous contract. Let the beavers let them do their work. That's what they're put on earth to do here. Come on.
So you're going to have two dogs and a pet beaver for the girls?
If I have two dogs, it won't be a pet beaver because Chase would not let that stand. Yeah. Okay. Sean, our wildlife expert weighing in, he says, there's no appreciable money in southern beaver pelts. I gift several a year. I've never gotten one of those, Sean.
How about in beaver Swedish meatballs, Sean? Can you explore that?
Well, he said there's no commercial market for beaver meat. And then he says, sorry, Joel. Bill says gators take care of the beavers in West Mobile. Houndstooth, I think the beavers heard about Dan's owls, you know, the Spring Hill owls that were attacking people, the Mobilian of the Year list, and they're trying to get on this year.
Well, go ahead.
Well, thanks for that reminder, Houndstooth. We need to start working on the Mobilian of the Year 2025, and the beavers, yeah, they're on the list now.
Well, and, you know, there was one investigative reporter that went to the heart of the owl attacks, and not to toot my own horn, but that was me, putting my...
You're
life
like Trey Yeast or Anderson Cooper.
But I still haven't, so I didn't see the owls that day, and I haven't seen the beavers any day.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, I'm not aware of them. You say more water areas.
Yeah, definitely. That's where you'd find them. Yeah, okay. And the owls, normally trees are in the sky. Just a heads up for you.
It is 8:51. Mutual of Omaha, brought to you by Wild Kingdom. No, okay. 8:51, Dan and Dalton and Mobile Mornings. Good to have you along, and we'll be right back. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Who's on the line this morning?
I believe we have John in Robertsdale. Good morning, John. John? I think, so we picked up to talk with John and say, hey, buddy, you're about to be on the air.
I think he thought he was on the air. He thought he was on the air then. Okay.
There's a lot of screaming about retirement. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Let's see. Look how many Ukrainians Biden let die for 3 years. I mean, Quinn's argument that pausing the intelligence, the U.S. intelligence for Ukraine is tantamount to murder, seems to me a bridge too far, especially considering, 12? And they don't know the real numbers, but like at least 10,000 Ukrainian civilians have died.
It sounds like a Democrat talking point.
It kind of does, doesn't it?
I mean, because attack Trump. And Quinn is a conservative Republican, but to many of us or many of you, you admit it, he's not a Trump fan at all.
This Maximus, good quote. Ukraine situation reminds me of a famous quote. And he said, I don't know what weapons will be used to fight World War III, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones. That's exactly right. I mean, it seems like there are people whose livelihood isn't on the line, or they don't think it's on the line for some strange reason, who are willing to push the envelope for a country that's been known, up until 2022, Ukraine, they were writing all these articles about the Nazis in Ukraine and how racist of a country it was and the fraud and how many terrible things were going on there. And then all of a sudden they become our best friends. And now you have people in, I don't know, from Florida to Seattle willing to risk nuclear warfare over a war that's been going on for 3 years and should have been ended by now.
Yeah, I've heard that conversation with Cuomo and Tucker Carlson, and I forget which one was saying it, but they said it might have been Tucker, but he was saying, believe it or not, there are people who are serving in the Senate and Congress who don't care. They don't care how dark a war is created and what the consequences are. And that's pretty disturbing.
If any members of the city council are listening, we have folks on our text line that are trying to underbid the beaver contract coming up today.
Right.
So maybe pause that. I don't know. Jeff Porcho on the way next.